Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Hey guys, the NBA playoffs are here. The Lakers probably only have 2 home games left in the playoffs, but even more reason to take advantage of this deal. For Lakers fans looking for cheap NBA playoff tickets, one lucky fan just nabbed 2 Lakers playoff tickets for $24 apiece to Game 3 versus the Denver Nuggets on the Autograph app last week. On top of that, Autograph will continue dropping $24 NBA playoff tickets on the app weekly as claimable rewards to its users. All you have to do is download the Autograph app, sign up, and start scrolling. On Autograph, all of your favorite sports content, sports articles, videos, podcasts, including yours truly, can be found in one place. The more you read, listen, like, comment, and engage on those posts, the more fans' coins you'll earn, which you can then parlay into some pretty sweet prizes, like $24 playoff tickets or $2 signed jerseys. So, check out the link in our episode description, use the code LITLEGACY, and sign up for Autograph today. You don't have to pay a single cent to get rewarded for your fandom. Don't miss out on all the fan frenzy of the NBA playoffs, and look out for Game 4 Lakers playoff tickets for just $24. Sign up now on the Autograph app, use the code LITLEGACY, and get started today. All right, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where Lakers versus Nuggets, Game 2, 0-10, no notes. Grasping at straws, the Lakers are gasping with straws in the Mile High City after going down 0-2 to the Denver Nuggets in a game in which they dominated for a good 28 minutes of game time, going up as much as 20 points, only to lose to a Jamal Murray buzzer beater. What the streets are now calling the Hail Murray. But same Nugget story, different game. Mile High City, the Lakers are still miles away from figuring out this godforsaken team, it seems. I'm your host, Jonathan Hernandez, and today I am joined by a special guest, friend of the podcast, a part of the Late Night Lake Show podcast collective. We've had him on several times before under more optimistic context, but Mr. Omar Siddiqui, welcome back to the show. Omar, how you doing, man? This was supposed to be a completely different show the way this game was shaping up about 10 minutes into the third quarter last night. Uh-huh, but here we are. Uh-huh.
What's going on? We're here. We showed up to work. So
we showed up to work. Exactly. And you're literally doing this at work, which is hilarious. Yeah, Omar, how are you? Give me your guttural, visceral reaction to what happened last night. And this doesn't have to be long, but let's just key in on the buzzer beater by Jamal Murray and how you were feeling as a Lakers fan right after that, because that is the definition of a gut punch. It was gut wrenching. It was torturous. It was all of the above. And at the 5-minute mark of the fourth quarter, when it was only like a 5-minute game, I had already told myself, we're probably going to lose. And even understanding that, even preparing myself for that outcome, it still hurt like hell to see Jamal Murray hit that buzzer beater, because you don't expect to lose in that way. But yeah, how are you feeling after last night's debacle?
Dude, I feel horrible. I feel like we have this monkey on our backs and we cannot get rid of this monkey no matter how we play. And, you know, we've been clamoring for, you know, an incredible AD game. We get that. We get a bounce back D'Lo game, like a vintage, I think, career high in the playoffs, most made threes for him. We get a vintage, you know, D'Lo performance, and he's solid all night. LeBron is flying like on the defensive end and, you know, going up and down. He struggled a little bit in the first three quarters, I'll say, from the field. But passing wise, I think he had like 10 assists, like really, really quickly. We got the point guard type of Bron, which is awesome. You know, and then, you know, Reeves did a hellacious job on Murray all night. Like he's been, you know, giving him hell the first two games, aside from a few shots he hit, you know, obviously at the end of the game. But man, I feel like whatever like version of a team or game that we need to play, Denver just figures out a way to just win the game, which is so frustrating to watch. But also at the same time, it's not so frustrating when you see how the coach in the front office has operated from the offseason and the lack of moves. Like, we didn't address anything that went wrong in last year's series against Denver.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we can't. I think we gave up, again, like 5 to 6+ offensive rebounds just to Jokic and Aaron Gordon. And again, that's extra possessions, extra shots. And I think, you know, at the moment, at the shot, I'm like, he's not gonna make this. Jamal Murray's not gonna make this. This is the same day I've been on Twitter. All my friends, you included, have been on Twitter defending AD that he should be the DPOY top three finalist. I'm like, you're not hitting this shot over and out his outstretched arm on a 7-footer in the corner. And it's funny too, is he gets enough space on him to get that off. Usually AD can, you know, get a fingertip or something, yeah. But you know, he made like just enough of like a hezzy move to create that separation. Then he's fading away, you know, towards his bench in the corner. And I'm like, you know, I've seen this movie so many times. It's been nine previous games where we can never get anything right or anything to go in our favor, which is really weird too, because like, you know, there's this conversation that we should have avoided Denver, and like, you know, you don't want to upset the basketball gods. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like we did, you know, did right by them, but they're not helping us or favoring us whatsoever. You know, and it's just been like, there's so many ways I can go with it, but like, yeah, at that point, I just couldn't believe it. Like, you know, and I know there was a lot of commentary on the possession before, which was that LeBron three. I'm not too mad at it, but like, you know, I can see the argument where like, you know, you give them less time, but you know, at that point, like they still have a timeout. They're still a well-oiled machine. They'll still get like at least a good look. I'd assume like with the 3-4 seconds that would be left, but like, it is what it is. I mean, you know, you have a possession where AD is your best defender. He's guarding Murray. He just hits the shot. Like there's nothing you can do about it, you know? And I was thinking at that point that we're going to get OT at least. But yeah, that's what happened.
Well, Omar, you look at your keyboard between the K and the colon keys, and what do you see? You see an L, and unfortunately the Lakers have 10 L's in a row to this same goddamn team. And you're right, that AD, that is what you want at the end of the game, AD on the best team's best player. Maybe not on Jokic, because Jokic was kind of grilling him at the end there. But on a guard, we've seen AD block that shot against Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, whoever, you know. But against the Nuggets, there is this boogeyman curse that's on us that just makes us second-guess ourselves and doubt ourselves to the point where we need to be perfect in every little thing we do. And as you mentioned, AD may have been like 2 inches a little too deep in his coverage, and that's all Jamal Murray needed. You know, we weren't perfect on that defensive play. Usually that's enough to have an offensive player off kilter seeing AD's long arm stretched out of him, but it didn't bother Jamal Murray. And honestly, at that point, he had hit like 3 or 4 jump shots and layups already, you know, so he was kind of rolling. And yeah, to see that buzzer beater and the way that it happened too, where like AD crumples to the Nuggets bench, it was just so embarrassing and pathetic, dude. Like, it
Be humiliated in that point.
Honestly, I think AD was all of us at that moment, right? How deflated he was, and the crowd just erupts all around him, and he's at the bottom of this pile. God bless KCP for trying to help him up, but like, goddamn, like, how it just so sad, so pathetic. It just feels like such a insurmountable mountain. It feels futile. Mm-hmm. Is this what most other NBA fans feel like most years? Because what a terrible existence. I'm glad we've been Lakers fans, but to be on the other side of it and against this one team, honestly, Omar, I feel like if we had just beaten the Denver Nuggets this year, even if we hadn't won the championship, I would have felt kind of better about this season. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, me too. I just wanted this done. I just wanted this game in Denver on the road. And like, you know, the narrative shifts too for D'Lo. Like he hits, like he kind of gets the demons out of his head. And like AD has an unbelievable game. I think he started the game, what, like 14 for 16 or something like that. And, you know, we'll get into like the specifics of like, you know, the foul calls and stuff like that kind of took stuff out of, you know, like I'm not one to blame the refs or whatever, but like I think it took away from the game, which was like a really, really good game. But yeah, like we got what we wanted. Like the players, like everyone, they stepped up.
That's a perfect segue into kind of like where this all fell apart. I do just want to point out that, you know, I mentioned at the start of this episode, we shouldn't have been talking about this. I had so many other bullet points that I wanted to touch, Omar. As you mentioned, we should have been talking about the D'Lo redemption game because
I know
he had 6 threes in the first half. He looked so at ease. We got deadline D'Lo in the first half, dude. He was rolling.
Yeah.
And even when he was out of rhythm in the second half and only had like 4 shots, nobody seems to remember the fact that he had the go-ahead layup with 1 minute left to put us ahead. The play before that, too, you saw in his face, he was like doing that D'Lo little smug look where he's like nodding his head. And the play after that, he totally takes it all the way to the basket for like this high banker off the glass. And that's a shot that he's been missing all series, you know? So even from that sense, that was such a redemptive shot. We should have been talking about how, man, D'Lo hit 6 threes in the first half to redeem his 3-point shooting. And then in the second half, he redeemed his layup package. And it's funny because the non-call at the end of the third quarter, he gets smacked in the face. So to have him go up for another layup and hit it, and that be the go-ahead shot, that should have been the story, you know? And it should have been the story that we were talking about, LeBron's several haymakers at the end. The dunk on KCP that was immediately overshadowed by MPJ's three. We'll get to it. LeBron's like step back 3-pointer that he hit like
back to back. Yeah.
Back to back. We should have been talking about those plays. We should have been talking about Anthony Davis's stellar first half, but instead we're left here talking about everything that went wrong from those points forward. So Omar, let's talk about, usually we do play of the game on this episode, but unfortunately we are going to have to talk about the unplay of the game. So there were many to choose from, sadly, especially in the second half. But if you had to pinpoint one unplay of the game that you felt like really swung things in Denver's favor, what would that be for you?
Yeah, I feel like an unplay of the game for me was, I think the Lakers are up 3 and Denver is bringing the ball up, and it's kind of chaotic. It's like a frenzy, chaotic pace. The ball is kind of like, you know, moving around. I forget who makes the pass, outlet pass, but the ball kind of like careens into Reeves and Gordon, and they're like behind the basket, like right at the line. And just by the power and strength and height of Gordon, he just rips the ball out of Reeves's hands. I can't blame Reeves. Like, there's nothing he could do. He made a play at the ball. Maybe he could have flopped and tried to get a call, but who knows? But, like, you know, in the fact, so he catches the ball, he gets it, he rips it, he stays in bound. Obviously, his momentum is still taking him out of bounds, but he's able to have the wherewithal to turn around. And obviously, this goes back to, like, he's super athletic. He has like a 40-inch vert. He jumps, turns around, surveys the floor, passes it to MPJ, who's probably the only Nuggets that's not named Jokic who had it going all night. Like, we had no answer for him. He hit, like, I think he's the one key player that we probably haven't really talked about that just kept Denver, like, you know, kind of like in the game. And he gets the ball, and it's not like, you know, he's open, but, like, you know, Russell comes in like last second to kind of just like contest the shot. I think there's another Lakers player who's running at him, and he just nails a three. You know what? I'd rather him have him miss the shot, and then maybe, you know, even if they get the offense rebound, they get the putback, we're still up one. Mm-hmm. That doesn't even happen. He nails a three. And I just felt like that was such a, like, back-breaking moment, because you had I think maybe there's like a minute left. If Reeves comes up with the ball, he gets a steal. We're up three. We got another possession, another potential shot at the rim or whatever, to extend the lead. But I felt like that was such a huge pivotal, moment that the ball just didn't go our way, you know?
Yeah. I think that is the perfect unplay of the game to sort of hone in on, especially because LeBron James literally 4 seconds before that just yammed it on KCP, and somehow off of a made basket, the Denver Nuggets are in transition. You know, it seems like the Denver Nuggets are in transition. Jokic gets the ball, and he tried to take a three-pointer to get the foul. It was either a bad three-point grifter play or he was trying to pass it to Gordon. But it goes, like, that was a turnover. It was such a chaotic play. And I couldn't, honestly, the way that play was shaping up for the Denver Nuggets, it looked like something the Lakers would do. You know, where it felt undisciplined. Yeah. It felt messy. That should have been a turnover. And yet, as you mentioned, Gordon kind of battles with Austin Reeves to wrangle the ball out, you know, in bounds. Austin Reeves flies out of bounds. And I don't know what Rui Hachimura was doing on that play. I think several Lakers thought that was a turnover. Understandably so, right?
They just turned off for a second, yeah.
Yeah, like, Rui Hachimura was just watching where the ball was going. The sad part is, like, AD ran back pretty slowly because Jokic was the first guy back with Aaron Gordon after that LeBron dunk. And so the Lakers just kind of, after that LeBron dunk, I don't know if they expected the Nuggets to call timeout, but they didn't. And it almost worked out in our favor because it should have been a turnover. But again, like, just the chaoticness of that play played into, Michael Porter Jr. hitting that shot. It almost felt like, if you guys watched the Knicks-Sixers game, the game prior.
Yeah, it felt like that.
It felt like the Dante DiVincenzo, like, he misses the three. They get this wild offensive rebound where, like, four different fouls probably should have been called. DiVincenzo gets a second shot at the three, and that's the go-ahead bucket for the Knicks. But anyways, like, that was such a backbreaker moment, because from the LeBron dunk to the Denver Nuggets should have been turnover. That should have been game, you know, or near game. And instead, Michael Porter Jr., you know, and there's so much behind Michael Porter Jr. too with what he's been going through. I'm sure from the Denver Nuggets end, what a story. They have so many storylines to go off of, right? Like, the weight of the world on Michael Porter Jr.'s shoulders drains this game-tying three. And it's so sad that, like, Rui Hachimura kind of only half-assedly contests that shot because he was having such a terrible game already. And for, honestly, on that shot, D'Angelo Russell contested that shot more heartily than Rui Hachimura did. Which sucks, you know, like, Hachimura should have, like, almost tried to foul Michael Porter Jr., but you have to have that intent when you're lunging out at a guy, you know, and Rui Hachimura just kind of, like, flat-footedly stepped forward, and it didn't bother him, you know? Like,
yeah.
just so disappointing. So that unplay of the game is very apt. For me, I'll go with a different one. I'm going to go with, I forget how many minutes are left, but the Denver Nuggets are down two. Jamal Murray has the ball. LeBron James is guarding him. And then Jamal Murray either pushes off or just sidesteps and tries to take this flailing fadeaway jump shot. And the whistle sounds. And he gets the foul call. And LeBron James is like, what the fuck? And every Lakers fan is like, what the fuck? And we're expecting a timeout to be called, Darvin Ham to wave the challenge flag. There's no challenge flag, but to call challenge. And it never happens. And in the matter of 15 seconds, Jamal Murray is at the free throw line hitting two free throws. To me, that is the unplay of the game because the Denver Nuggets hadn't tied the game yet. You know, I believe. I don't think the Michael Porter Jr. shot had happened yet. And that was the first time, or one of the first times, that the Nuggets were able to actually see tie game. And from there, like, that should have been a challenge. So that, and given the fact that there was the D'Angelo Russell call that was overturned at the end of the third quarter where he gets smacked in the face and the refs call that marginal contact because apparently it's okay if the ball is already out of the offensive player's hands.
I've never heard of this.
It's okay for the defensive player to follow through and hit somebody, you know, which it's never okay when that happens when a three-point shooter does it and you fall into their landing space, right? Anyways, given those circumstances, you would think that if you had called challenge on that play, you would have gotten the benefit of the doubt and gotten some sort of makeup challenge call, you know? But we don't even get the opportunity to do that because Darvin Ham has his hands in his pockets as usual. And for me, that's kind of an encapsulation of the game and also Darvin Ham, right? No timeout called, no challenge called. If there was a challenge called, it would have been the wrong challenge because he would have called a challenge on a Torian Prince play in the second quarter. You know, it's like, how frustrating. Like, how is the coach having this many brain farts in the middle of a game at that crucial juncture of the game? Why is nobody telling him to call challenge? You only have a minute left of the game.
I don't understand it. It's not like you can walk home or go back home with these challenges.
Is he really?
Or timeouts.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess he's thinking maybe there's a more crucial play with 15 seconds left, but like...
But if you win the challenge, you get another challenge.
I know. So,
And I feel like there's a little bit of confidence in that junction of the game.
Yeah.
You have data to support that you
could
win that. It's not like it's a different official crew or a different night.
Yeah, and the most ironic part, Omar, about that terrible call is the fact that the terms marginal contact should have been applied to that foul and not the D'Angelo Russell
100%.
Whack in the head. It's just so backwards. LeBron James should have been way more adamant about call timeout. Let's challenge that shit. This doesn't make any sense, but it was just when things fall apart like that, when it rains, it pours, right? And that was my unplay of the game. My runner-up for that would have been not the LeBron James three-point shot necessarily, where there was like 17 seconds left, 13 seconds on the Lakers shot clock. It wasn't the fact that LeBron James took that shot. My runner-up for unplay of the game is KCP falling down, which allowed LeBron James that open shot
He would have never taken that.
What an unfortunate series of events this entire game has been. Anyways, let's move on from the unplay of the game, Omar. And I guess before we take it to break, what are some other things about this game that stood out to you about what went wrong, what went right? I think, honestly, and I hate to say this as a Lakers fan, but what went right in the first half was the guys were just hitting shots, primarily D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis. I thought the team came out with amazing energy, especially on the defensive end. Like LeBron James' block on Jamal Murray on the dunk attempt was insane.
It's amazing. Yeah.
His touchdown pass after the KCP airball to Anthony Davis dunk was incredible. D'Angelo Russell's shot making was... Yeah, that was deadline D'Lo stuff. Six of seven in the first half. Anthony Davis, 11 of 12 in the first half. Like, I was hyped and I was willing to sort of understand that these are outlier things that are happening, but the Lakers just need to get a win by all means. You know, it doesn't matter if this is fake, whatever. Let's just get the win first so that we can feel confident about ourselves. But then the third quarter happened, and obviously the shots stopped falling, even though LeBron James and Anthony Davis started going to their pick and roll game and started spamming it. For once, I was like, oh my God, are we actually running the same play over and over again? This is amazing. Unfortunately, the Denver Nuggets have a very smart head coach who decided after the third pick and roll, we're going to switch things up. And he switched Gordon onto Anthony Davis and put Jokic on Rui Hachimura to the point where LeBron James had to go away from that and started using Rui Hachimura as the screener. And Rui, just what a terrible night to absolutely whiff on multiple layups and dunks. He's been so reliable. He's been, he was shooting like 60% the last 2 months of the season. And I don't know, man, that was felt like a mental thing at that point. And it all fell apart from there. And I don't want to get into too many specifics because I'm sure we'll go back and forth on this. But my main takeaway is the fact that one team's head coach knows how to adjust. The other team's head coach doesn't. And we saw it from Darvin Ham multiple times. He just could not react and adapt to what Mike Malone was doing. So yeah, from your perspective, is what do you want to point out? Or is there anything else that kind of stood out to you with regards to how this game fell apart?
Yeah, I think, you know, as you like eloquently like laid all that out, I think the common denominator, not between this game, but also like last year's playoff series against Denver, Malone makes these key adjustments in every second half. It's not the first time we've had leads or we've started the game off strong in each matchup. He makes these little tweaks where like last game, I think what they were doing differently is they were making our rotations really long on the defensive end. So when we were going to make those like doubles or like started to hedge on some of these pick and rolls, like it was almost impossible for our players to catch up. So that was like a minor tweak, but Darvin Ham never had a counter to that. And then similarly last night when we switched off, when they made the switch of Jokic on Rui, we had no counter to that. And I think it definitely, like the players too also talked about this, it kind of stagnated their offense and we couldn't, like we wasted possessions of instead trying to match, trying to get that mismatch of Jokic, where we could have just fed the ball to AD and just try to like, you know, ride the coattails of him because he was having a phenomenal game. And, you know, I think that's the type of stuff that he, you know, is weak at right now. And, you know, that's kind of like the laurels of hiring a first-time head coach. Like there's things that he is not going to be apt at. I mean, sometimes you'll you know, swing and hit a home run, you hire Spo, but like, those are the types of things where you kind of like need those types of adjustments to win against a team that's this good. And you need to make those smart decisions around the margins. And clearly that's not been working for us in our favor. And I think, you know, I don't think there's anything for me to like really like that I can remember or point at, but it was just something that like we just, the offense stagnated. We stopped going to AD and he like, I don't think I've seen this type of AD in a very long time, maybe since the bubble, where he had like everything going outside of his three ball, but I don't even think he took the three ball shot. But like, you know, we could have just, you know, instead of trying to, you know, get the mismatch on Jokic, we could still like feed the ball to AD, run those pick and rolls, or even have D'Lo run the pick and roll with AD. And D'Lo was doing that thing where, you know, he wasn't as aggressive in that first game, but like that, just that pocket pass for AD. And, you know, the defense had to play honest on him yesterday. Like there's no way you can't. And
that's a good point. Yep.
And I don't know how many shots AD got off, which is the annoying and sad thing. And it's something that like kind of always happens. It's like a theme with this team and the coaching staff. And I don't know if, you know, like the Denver was doing anything schematically that's like preventing AD from getting the ball, right? Like if AD, like let's see what their scheme is once AD gets the ball. If they double him, that's a different story. There's other things that we should be doing, but I don't remember AD touching the ball too much. Outside of that, I think Rui probably played his worst game that I can remember as a Lakers. Too many missed bunnies. The one that, you know, is ringing in my head is that he had that missed dunk And for some reason, he decided to stay hanging on the rim. And AD actually gets the offensive rebound, puts it back up. But because Rui was still hanging on the rim and the hoop were moving around.
Yeah.
And I think that affected AD's putback 100%. I think that's 2 points that we just didn't get back. And I don't know what happened. Something was in his head. Maybe he even missed a free throw in the fourth quarter. He went 1 for 2. He's usually a pretty solid free throw shooter. But yeah, we really needed Rui to step up. And I know you mentioned like the outlier performances that we did get from AD and D'Lo, but you know, at least my mentality was like, well, I expect Rui to like step up a little bit, or Reeves to step up a little bit, and LeBron too, who was struggling from the field. Like he missed, there was actually another play we didn't even talk about. He missed a layup, I think,
yep,
at the rim, because I think he was expecting to get fouled, but he didn't, and he missed like a layup where he just kind of like he threw it off the glass and even touched rim. It just kind of like went off, and I think he was expecting a bump. There was another layup that he finished. He got hit clearly on the head by Jamal Murray. That wasn't called. That would have been a huge call too. But again, I don't want to go too hard on the refs. But like there's just like a perfect storm of things that went wrong for us and things that went perfectly for them. And I feel like, you know, when you don't make these marginal like decisions or like choices, like when it comes to like, you know, from a coaching standpoint, even players, like I think it then. Against them, it bites us every time.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, why don't we take it to break here, switch it over to our sponsors, and when we return, we'll just talk more about what was annoying us about this game and kind of shift focus to Game 3 and muse about whether or not the Lakers can do anything, even from a mental team morale standpoint, to turn the tide of this series, because it just seems like there's such a specter hanging over us. The bad omen, a bad curse from this Denver Nuggets team, and see if we can shake that. So let's take it to break, and we will catch you guys after the turn.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, so we are back. Omar, I want to talk to you real quick about one of our newest partners. Quick question. Do you like cheap NBA tickets?
Absolutely.
I'm not talking just normal cheap. I'm talking about like $24 cheap playoff tickets. How does that sound to you?
Sounds amazing.
How about cheap autographed sports jerseys? And I'm not talking about normal cheap. I'm talking about like $2 cheap sports jerseys.
That's a steal.
That is a steal. Well, what if I told you there was a way and a chance that you could claim those rewards, and all you have to do is do what you already do as a diehard Lakers fan by scrolling through Twitter, reading sports articles, liking and retweeting tweets, arguing with people, listening to Lakers podcasts like yours truly. It's really that simple, and Autograph allows you to do all those things that you already do as a fan on their app. Autograph is a sports app that Tom Brady created to help fans get rewarded for their fandom. On Autograph, all of your favorite sports content can be found in one place, and every time you engage and interact with that content on the app, you get rewarded with fans coins, which you can then rack up and parlay into a chance to win insane prizes like $24 Lakers playoff tickets or $2 Autograph jerseys from your favorite athletes. In fact, Game 3 is coming up, and last Friday, I believe one of the rewards was $24 Game 3 tickets to the Lakers game, a pair of those, so $48 in total. So one lucky fan who was using the app and had enough coins to put his name in that pool won that award. Two $24 Lakers Game 3 playoff tickets. So Autograph does those types of rewards on a weekly basis. So if you sign up now, start racking up the coins and checking the rewards on the Lakers community page, you may have a shot at Lakers playoff tickets for however long the Lakers continue playing. There's only two more games. So all you have to do is check the description in this podcast episode for the link to sign up. Use code LITLEGACY, LITLEGACY. Create an account and begin fandoming away. You don't have to pay a single cent to start racking up the points. The only money you'll spend on this app is when you win that award of $24 Lakers playoff tickets, and you have to pay the $24. So sounds like a pretty good deal, right, Omar?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. So download Autograph and use code LITLEGACY today. Link is in the episode description. All right, with that said, Omar, let's just continue venting about this game. You mentioned the LeBron layups. And yeah, that was another thing that I wanted to bring up, where as epic as his haymakers were at the end of the game, and honestly, it's true, he probably should have gotten foul calls on those multiple layup attempts. But I mean, that just also kind of shows you his age, right? Like, he's 39 years old. Like, this isn't the LeBron James that we know. Like, he's trying to reverse layup these things and hitting glass. The old LeBron, even 2020 LeBron, would have just yammed those things. That would have been an and one, you know, where it seems like LeBron gets more and one calls than he gets normal foul calls. Isn't that ironic?
I know. It's really ironic.
But because he's trying to like do these reverse layups because he just doesn't have, you know, the juice as much, he's just not getting these calls. And yeah, that, I think that was very disappointing to see. AD was 3 for 6 in the third quarter, but after that, I don't know if he got a shot attempt. He maybe got one or two shot attempts because he wasn't fouled.
That putback he missed was one in the fourth quarter.
Exactly. And then the foul trouble, getting the fourth foul with like 3 minutes left in the third, killed us.
I actually want to talk to you about that.
Yeah, he didn't come back till the 9 minute mark, and I believe the foul call,
he should have came back at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
He should have came back. Yeah, okay, let's start there, because one, the foul call was stupid. It was a moving screen. Okay. Hilarious in the grander scheme of all the fouls.
Marginal contact, I thought.
I know. So yeah, talk to me about like just the substitution pattern, because outside of AD not coming back till the 9 minute mark, you had like Gabe Vincent and Spencer Dinwiddie out there lollygagging for God knows why. And we had some D'Lo, Gabe, Spencer, Prince lineup at one point. And it was just, I don't know, man. Darvin Ham prior to the game said, we're going back to our normal rotations. And for me, that meant, okay, no guy is going to play 40 minutes like they did in the game one. And Spencer Dinwiddie and Gabe Vincent are going to play their normal allotment of 10 to 15 minutes each. Normal rotations. Classic Darvin Ham, right? It's like overreacting to one game when actually he had pretty good process that first game. You play your best players. 40 minutes, like I give him props for actually letting D'Lo continue to shoot and gain a rhythm. And show D'Lo, we're not going to yank you if you take these shots. These are normal shots you take. And it paid dividends, right? Mm-hmm, you know what didn't pay dividends? Him switching up the whole like rotation thing and saying, you know what? We're going to go with our normal allotment of minutes, and nobody in our starting lineup is going to play 40 minutes. I know a lot of those guys were gassed, but Austin Reeves only playing 32? It just doesn't make sense. So yeah, start with the Anthony Davis substitution pattern and then go out from there, because I think the substitution patterns kind of trickle down to the rest of the team.
Yeah, I want to talk about in general, right? I think a lot of coaches in the NBA I think Josh Lloyd talks about this on Locked On. I don't know if any of your listeners are fantasy basketball enthusiasts like you and I, but when a coach overreacts to their star player getting in foul trouble early, you're effectively kind of fouling out that player because you have now limited their normal allotment of minutes played in the game. So I thought that, it was fine to take him out at the time of the third quarter. What I didn't agree with him is not putting him back in to start the fourth quarter. Here's a few reasons why. One, that's the one time that Jokic gets to rest. Denver was kind of already going on a run and, decreased the deficit to 10 points going into the fourth quarter. We kind of lost those 2 points on that, stupid reversal foul call. What ended up happening is there was no rim deterrent. So Jamal Murray gets a layup. Christian Brown gets a layup. I think there was a putback that Christian Brown also gets or someone gets, I forget. But I feel like that was a perfect time to kind of reset the tone for yourself, take back the momentum, maybe start the quarter on a, 6-0 run or even a mini 5-0 run. And what you did from that, what Darvin Ham did is, you didn't put him in. And, I think this plays out. I think Draymond Green talks about this too. When you kind of get that fifth foul call, even if you get it and you're a superstar, refs definitely swallow the whistle. They don't want to be the ones to foul out the superstar player. And yeah, I get it. You're going to have to play a little hesitant, but you just got to take the risk, right? You took away the risk by not playing him and, kind of giving up the lead and making it a tighter game earlier, but you buy yourself a little bit more time, more minutes. And I think for me, anytime Jokic is on the bench, you have to win those minutes. Yeah. And I think, that lineup that he put out there struggled mightily. And, it was a three guard lineup with Rui and LeBron, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's tough. What are you going to do about that? And LeBron was already we saw that too. LeBron's finishing maybe it's tied to his age. Maybe it's tied to the conditioning and him just running around all over the place. But I just hate when coaches do that. You're taking out your star player out the game. And I thought that was a pivotal point in, not putting AD out there again.
What about Reeves? What was going on there? 32, he only played 32 minutes. And then there was also a portion in the fourth where he played Gabe Vincent way too long and D'Angelo Russell didn't come back till the 4-minute mark or something. And I was almost are they just going to close with Gabe? What's going on? It felt like Ham was trying to protect the lead more than he was trying to be aggressive.
That
mentality was on every single player's faces outside of maybe LeBron James, and it's so frustrating when you see a team so mentally defeated, exactly the moment in which the Lakers begin to doubt themselves. It happens every single time they have a double-digit lead and then Denver Nuggets go on, even just a 6-0 run. All of a sudden, the Lakers completely malfunction and they start going to freelance offense. They go to what's mm-hmm. easiest. They lose their complete lack of discipline in those moments, no matter how many times you hammer it into their heads, we need to be perfect. We need to be perfect. It just never happens. It's incredible. I am almost I'm speechless because I don't see how this can continue happening over and over again. And there's that saying that the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same things over and over and over again. And at some point, there has to be someone on that bench that stands up and calls the timeout for Darvin Ham just to rally the troops around and be like, hey, you boneheaded idiots, we cannot make cross-court passes anymore. We cannot take contested shots. We need to try and run some sort of set offense that got us here in the first place. D'Angelo Russell, run a pick and roll with AD because this LeBron James thing trying to hunt mismatches is getting predictable and they're actually finally starting to cover D'Angelo Russell like the shooter he is. Why aren't we trying anything new?
And we should have attacked Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter because Okay, now you know your option one of attacking Jokic is not going to be like that. The other thing too is that, like, I don't know if this team, like, Stu Lance talks about this all the time. We get into our offense way too late in the shot clock. There's only 24 seconds, so like, make a decision on what you want to do. If option one is not there, like, they've repeatedly shown you that it's not working, and it's taking too long for Rui to set the screen, and you're not getting the separation that you need. So now, why don't we use one of our skilled finesse guards, either Reeves and D'Lo, I don't care, but put them in a pick and roll with AD and make that two-man game work out for you. Like, we have, that's the beauty of this team. We have options. We have multiple ball handlers. We have multiple players that can get their own shot or make, like, really good reads and passes. And I will live with those results. Mm-hmm. I won't live with the results of, like, okay, you know, we're going to continue to mismatch Hunt on Jokic. All right, now there's 8 seconds left, and now we have to, like, pray for, like, a LeBron heave or like, it's a last-second shot. Like, that's just not a good process. And you know what ends up happening is they get the rebound, and they're sprinting the other end, and we are a horrible transition defensive team. And, you know, we see that time and time again.
Well, you know, the most frustrating part about tonight is, and I think the LeBron James dunk on KCP was indicative of it all, when, like, it seems like every bad shot we take immediately results. It's not even a turnover anymore, Omar. We're not even talking about turnovers into transition points. We're talking about a bad shot turning into quick, easy transition dunks for the Denver Nuggets or threes.
The, like, KCP dunk. You remember that one?
Yeah, that can't, though, that shit cannot happen. And it happens almost, it happened almost every single time down in the second half when the Lakers did not get a good shot, you know, or a clean look. And it snowballs to the point where even when LeBron James dunks it, the Denver Nuggets are already on the other end doing some silly shit that gets Michael Porter Jr. a three, you know? And it's just like, it's so frustrating. And let's look at the bench really quick, because that's one other thing that I want to point out. Look, the Denver Nuggets bench is not great. And that's one of the things that I pointed out before this series started. I was like, they're a lot weaker. And look, man, the bar is so low to clear, Omar. Peyton Watson, yep. 2 points, 1 of 4. Justin Holiday, 0 of 1, 0 points. Reggie Jackson, 0 of 5, 0 points. The only guy who did anything was Christian Braun. He had 10 points, 5 of 8. But everybody else did nothing. That's a very low bar to clear. And yet, here's the Lakers bench. Jackson Hayes, 0 points. Spencer Dinwiddie, 0 points. Gabe Vincent, 0 points. 0 of 2 from 3. He had that wide open baseline 3 that LeBron James hit him with that he missed. Torian Prince is the only bench player who scored 6 points, 2 of 3 from 3. His one miss was god-awful. It was like this step-back three-point shot. Granted, yeah, he had just so hit bad. A one prior, but still, that does, should not give you license to take a third heat check version
that
of
so
that.
Bad.
So yeah, the bench is just letting the Lakers down tremendously. I know we potentially may have Christian Wood or Jared Vanderbilt for game 3. I don't know if that'll make any difference, but when Rui Hachimura and Austin Reaves are not performing offensively the way that we know that they can, and the bench is doing even worse than that and throwing up offers, like, we're dead in the water, dude. We have no shot. And the most disappointing part about all this is, like, look, the Lakers only put up 99 points after putting up 59 points in the first half. This is not the stellar offensive team that the Lakers put together post-trade deadline, post-All-Star break, where they were like a top three offensive rating team, you know? This isn't the team that we've seen the last two games. We've seen it in bursts for like a quarter or two. But for the full 48 minutes, something happens. You give a lot of credit to Denver, just like sticking with the game plan, not panicking. But also, you like, whether it's a lack of discipline, I mean, it is that. Whether it's lack of discipline or the Lakers not falling back on what got them there in the first place and not going to offensive sets, like, it's just, we just crater in the second half every time, and we don't end up looking like the offensive team that we did towards the second half of the season that we were really banking on. Remember, everybody was saying we got to fight offensive firepower with offensive firepower, but how can we go 5-minute stretches of not scoring a point, you know? And that's exactly what happened in this game again. And Omar, the most annoying thing that I heard this entire, game was prior to the game, Darvin Ham did say this, but it was reported that the Lakers chose to switch sidelines. That was one of their tricky wrinkles that Darvin Ham pulled out of his back pocket.
I heard about that.
He's like, did you like this? Let me pull this out of my sleeve. And I'm like, I am so embarrassed to be a Lakers fan right now. I know they weren't banking on that to be a key factor, but just the fact that they're trying to literally pull out any and all stops to try and defeat this team. And that one move, I bring up that move because it's so ironic, right? They did that so that the Lakers offense could play right next to the bench in the second half. But it's the second half where our offense cratered. So what the hell was our bench telling our players as they were chucking up shots and not going into their offensive sets? What good did that do? If anything, I think it helped out the Nuggets because Jamal Murray is just shooting freely on the other end because his bench is cheering him on that shot, you know? And we could have had Lakers players screaming in his face on the sideline.
Yeah.
We could have had Lakers players screaming at Michael Porter Jr. Instead, the Denver Nuggets guys are like, Michael Porter, hit that shot. It's like, so, I mean, just what a whirlwind, what a clusterfuck, right? Of just like unfortunate events and decisions that led to this point. And is there anything else you want to bring up, whether it's about the bench or whatever? Do you want to talk about, before we close this episode, how you're feeling heading into game three and whether you have any hope at all of this Lakers team being able to dig themselves out of what I feel like is a mental rut? Because I don't know how many times they can keep doing this thing where they muster enough like vibes and energy to come out of the gates like blazing, you know, and like they'll go up on like a 15-point lead again. And like, what happens if Denver goes on a 6-0 run? Like, what are we going to do? How many times can they keep doing this before the shtick is up? And this might end up being 0 of 12 against the Nuggets by the time the series is over.
It may end up being that. I mean, to be honest, like, I think, you know, what the coaching staff and the players just need to do is like there are like good things that should be taken out of the first two games, right? And then you need to also have the mindset that a series doesn't start until a road team wins a game. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Right? That's the same. Mm-hmm. So honestly, like, I think at this point, like, I feel like both teams and like specifically talking from the Lakers perspective, like, you should know exactly like what works well and just be ready for the counters that Malone's going to throw at you in the second half. And I think you'll be in at least a better position instead of like reacting too late to certain things or just being stubborn and not making any changes. And I think that should work in our favor. And hopefully we get a little like home cooking from our role players who have been absent for the first two games. I think the key for us is like Rui really needs to just kind of be solid. Like he's fighting for his life on defense, and you know, I appreciate like everything that he's doing. Like, it's not easy to have the assignment to go and guard Jokic, and I did see like LeBron kind of switch on to him a little bit in this last game, and AD took on the assignment too, so there's a little bit of a rotation there. But I think, you know, if Rui can finish at the rim a little bit better, I think we're in a good position. I think just like, let's not hesitate from using like our other guards, and then, you know, maybe make LeBron the screener again. I feel like we haven't really used that much. Like last game, I don't think we used it that much. And I get it. Like AD had it cooking, but like, I feel like there's so many things that we can really do. Like, I think a lot of times, like the team just kind of like, and this may just be like how a LeBron thing is, right? A LeBron led team is, but like our other guards, they just kind of like give it up to LeBron and like he kind of decides like what should happen in that moment in time. But like, I would be totally okay if like Reeves and like D'Lo kind of like ask for the ball and try to like run something else, like a two man game option. But like, I don't do outside of that. I'm kind of at a loss. Like, I don't know, like after losing to a team, like, 10 times in the way we've kind of lost it. Like, it's not like something, I guess maybe some have been blowouts, but like there's been so many chances like where we're up and we just kind of like forget what kind of got us the lead. And it sucks watching this.
Yeah, I think it's honestly more of a mental game at this point, because like you said, the team just has to compartmentalize things. I think they're saying the right things with regards to just looking at game three. That's what you're supposed to do. Is that what's going to happen emotionally when you're in the heat of the game and you, all of a sudden you're staring down the barrel of this Denver Nuggets gun that, like, same story you've seen over and over again? Will you have the wherewithal to do this over and over again? Do this one more time, muster enough energy. Like, I think the home crowd will help a lot. If you're going to crypto, yeah, man, root this team on, give them some confidence, get the role players going. That's our only shot. You know, we need to go up by 30 and maintain that till the 2 minute mark. That's the only time I'll be comfortable. If the Lakers are up 30 with 2 minutes left, I think we've got it in the bag. But otherwise, really, 20-point lead is nothing these days in the NBA, and especially not when it's with the Lakers versus the Denver Nuggets. You know, that's just a couple of possessions that the Denver Nuggets make up in the span of 1 minute in each of these games. And for whatever reason, the Lakers just, you can call it human nature, but it shouldn't be human nature when it keeps happening to you over and over again, right? The Lakers just get too comfortable when they have even a 15-point lead, and it's just bonkers. But for game three, look, I don't, it's going to be a double-edged sword whether or not Christian Wood or Jared Vanderbilt returning will actually help this team, because you never know what Darvin Ham is going to do with their rotations. All of a sudden, Rui Hachimura is going to play like 10 minutes and we're going to rely on Christian Wood to be in enough rhythm to knock down these three-pointers. Good luck, you know, but
good luck with that.
I'll say this, the Lakers do need help rebounding. So if Wood and Vanderbilt can just do that and clean up some defensive possessions for us, and Darvin Ham knows how to delicately and sensitively toggle those players' minutes, maybe that could be a point of emphasis in terms of helping the Lakers out. You know, I'm not too confident about it, but like, we need any rebounding help that we can get at this point, because Darvin Ham doesn't trust Jackson Hayes and is only playing him 5 to 6 minutes. At the same time, right, you want to be like, you got to play your best players the most minutes. So what do you do in that scenario? Do you introduce this new wild card of Vanderbilt and Christian Wood? I don't know, but it may be at this point, you kind of just got to try anything and everything. But yeah, Omar, any last thoughts on heading into game three?
Not really. I think those, honestly, like if Rui continues to like not really give us much on the offensive end, I think you kind of have to throw a dart at the wall and just kind of give Wood and Vando minutes. And like, we don't know where they are conditioning wise, but like at this point, like you kind of have to try whatever you can. And other than that, like I hope that we, you know, finish at the rim better. we work on our transition defense. Like we don't like forget, like even after a made basket, to get back on defense. I mean, it's just little shit like that. Sorry, I curse, but like, it's just little stuff. Like, it's like, it's the same theme. All right. Can we try to rebound the ball better? All right. Can we get back on defense in transition? Those are like two things. And then obviously, like, I don't think any team in the NBA has like too many answers to the two man game of Jamal Murray and Jokic, but like, you kind of just kind of have to try to like make them work as much as possible. And I think what has worked the most is like anytime we put them in action, honestly, on the offensive end, it like definitely tires them out. And like, I think like we saw that effect on Murray for like the first 3.5 quarters. And I think we just kind of like got away with, like, I don't think we attacked Murray at all in the fourth quarter. And I think it would have been smart to do that. And I think they just have to be kind of like, just be a little reactionary and try to think about things that may come up in the next game, you know, like, I could see Malone making this adjustment. Like, so what would be my counter? So like, think about those things ahead of time rather than in game. Cause I think
proactive instead of reactionary, which is what Ham is. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And I think this is going to just have to be a vibes game. We're going to have to feed off of the crowd. Guys, multiple guys have to get rolling, and we can't let the foot off the gas pedal. We need that Memphis Grizzlies closeout game just to win this one game against the Denver Nuggets in game three. And honestly, this is just a pride thing at this point too. Like, we just need to win one, guys. We got to get the monkey off our back. Forget about the series. Let's just win one game. All right. All right. With that said, Omar, thank you so much for joining us. It's a bad time to be a Lakers fan, but we'll get through this. I think I'm going to start scouting some 2024.
We have our 17th pick again. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, we have the 17th pick.
Beloved 17th pick. Hopefully that gets traded.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that to get my mind off of things because, yeah, it's getting depressing real quick. But with that said, Omar, thank you so much for joining us. If you want to plug your Twitter account, do so. And yeah, take us out.
Yeah, I'm on OSA24. I haven't been tweeting too much these days. I feel like I think my co-host Ricky kind of talked about this last time. But like, it's been good to just take a break from social media and just kind of like the team has kind of worn down on me too. Like, it's just like the same type of stuff that we've kind of run into, like the highs are the highs and the lows are lows. And it's just kind of like, just gets to be too much at a certain point. And, but yeah, like, I interact when, you know, I need to interact and, you know, Jonathan and I are always talking about things, you know, in the DMs, as they say. But yeah, like, I'm excited. Let's see what happens in game three. But if not, you know, like, I think there's like a lot of like, this upcoming draft isn't as strong as last year's, but like, I think there's some like gems, which may be a good thing for the Lakers front office. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully they get a big man because we need one.
Exactly. All right, Omar, I will catch you next time. And hopefully the next time we talk, the Lakers have at least one win on the Denver Nuggets. So I will catch you later, dude. See ya.
Take care, guys. Peace.
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.